All right, it's 12:06. We're going to reconvene the meeting. Bring us to item number 36, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration, did we do this one? No. Consideration of approval of task order 83 of the Story County Dow Master Service Agreement, causing reimbursement related to the B Street record of survey and other related planning matters. Dow will be reimbursed for time and materials related to a boundary survey of the B Street right-of-way in Virginia City, not to exceed $90,000 for fiscal year 25-26. This project and funding amount has been included in the planning department budget for fiscal year 25-26 under category of professional services. Kathy?
Thank you. So this is a record of survey or a survey of the B Street right-of-way that we have. And this is going to help us with the parking study that we're doing and looking for opportunities of where increases in parking or reconfiguration of parking might work. So this will be from one end of B Street to the other, hitting C Street on both sides and 341 on the other. This is also going to include a survey of that land that is between B Street and C Street as you go down the hill where our election signs are identified in our sign ordinance. There was some question that had come up during the last election cycle with NDOT on whether this was NDOT property or Story County property. So this is going to work with also identifying where those boundaries are. I think that'll be helpful for us to know in the future. We are also going to do a second task order that'll be a small number to include the right-of-way that's between C Street and B Street. That's considered North Street, which is just a paper right-of-way that's there. But there's been some questions also about a retaining wall that we've been working with NDOT with, and we're actually like to see where exactly that retaining wall is, if that falls into our North Street right-of-way, if it falls into the C Street right-of-way, or if it's on private property. We wouldn't be doing any survey work on private property, but we would be identifying, we would know where that was. So this is one that this has been in the planning department budget. We've also done a smaller task order to get for the surveyors to get started before B Street starts getting ripped up with the reconstruction work so that they can identify some monument pieces and that before all that construction work happens. So they'll be starting on this, and this task order will be the work that they're doing as of July 1. So thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I do not. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm good.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Aye, Commissioner Mitchell. Move to approve Task Order 83 to the Story County Dow Master Service Agreement causing reimbursement related to the B Street Record of Survey and other related planning matters. Dow will be reimbursed for time and materials related to a boundary survey of the B Street right-of-way in Virginia City not to exceed $90,000 for fiscal year 25-26.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
On to item number 37, this is discussion for possible action. Update, discussion, and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding upcoming bills and legislation affecting Story County, including but not limited to the following: SB 69, SB 78, SB 461, AB 77, AB 32, and that's it.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. Also with me is Alex Tanchek from Silver State Government Relations. Will Adler and Helen Foley are in the building right now working some of our bills. So we're gonna go ahead and cover this. There's two parts of this. One is pretty simple. You have a matrix in the agenda packet that shows all of the status of the bills that this board has been giving direction on since the beginning of the legislative session. NACO's position as we know it, whether they passed or failed from the Senate or Assembly at the halfway part of the session, and then any notes that are related to those. The second part of this, I'd like to have a short discussion about Senate Bill 69, where it is, our bill, and then a little bit about Senate Bill 78, and then also I believe Mr. Tanchek has some things he would like to discuss as well. So first, are there any questions that you have on the list of bills and your positions that you may want to take on? I'm noting at the bottom that the very end, there is still position pending for the last two bills. AB 241, that's multifamily housing and the commercial zone requirement. And the second one is SB 180, minimum insurance for trucking. I was asked to put those items on and to get direction from the board on how you feel about those. And I believe one of you and or Alex would like to discuss those too.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments at this time?
No.
Vice Chairman?
I'll hold my comments. I have comments on those last two bills that were referenced.
Okay.
Okay, then I'll go to Senate Bill 69 at this point, and then I'll pass it over to Alex. Senate Bill 69, our bill, as you're aware, has passed the Senate with bipartisan support from both Republican and Democrats. At this point, LCB has written the bill as it came out of the Senate with a couple little adjustments regarding the word local added to the 10 and 20% that would be subject to negotiations for government services agreement with a gigafactory meeting the $1 or $3.5 billion abatement category. Otherwise, it's pretty similar to what it was initially. We're comfortable with where it is at this point. There's been a lot of discussion back and forth and visits with members down in the legislature about the bill and where it is. At this point, there is a hearing scheduled for it at 4 o'clock today with Assembly Revenue. It has passed out of the Senate, so now we go through the Assembly and follow the process again. And there's been some discussion about requested amendments. At this point, we're comfortable with the bill as it is. We believe it's one of the probably most improved bills, I guess you would say, in the legislature. It's been amended significantly to try to bridge gaps between opposition and other concerns that have been brought up. And we think it still meets the purpose and intent of what the original bill was trying to do for Story County and other counties, cities, and fire districts across the state, which it represents. At this point, we recommend that we continue to support the bill, move forward with the Assembly Committee today, listen and respond to the committee, and I'm open to any discussion I believe that you may want to have on this bill at this point.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, any questions at this time, comments?
No. Thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman.
So I think we're at a little bit of a choose your own adventure point. I support the recommendation of staff that we proceed with the bill as is. An amendment has been presented that would change a few things. They're relatively minor with the exception of one of them, and that would be reducing the amount that could be negotiated for the biggest abatements. I think that's a pretty heavy lift and would put the margins a little tight. Just for reference, the first gigafactory, our agreement with Tesla, $26, $27 million over 10 years. This cap would put that on a gigafactory of that size around $30 million. That's pretty close, and realizing that the gigafactory had a lot of the infrastructure already in place. My bigger concern is if we amend at this point, number one, we have strong bipartisan support coming out of the Senate. It feels like negotiating against ourselves to amend a bill that had that broad support before we hear from the committee on the Assembly side if they have input or questions. But secondly, if we amend the bill without a strong reason to, then it would have to go back to the Senate for concurrence at some point, and that kind of throws it back into the process. I feel like we're getting fairly close to the end of the session. If we can build the support behind it and just get it out and done, it may not be perfect. We may need to revisit it at some point in the future, but I feel like we've done a ton of work on it and gotten it to a really good place where it's good policy. So anyway, my feeling on it is let it ride, bring it through as is, don't amend at this point, see what happens in the hearing, and then if an amendment is needed, that's something that we can talk about.
And Chair, Commissioners, may I add to that just an element regarding what you're talking about, Commissioner Mitchell, also is with the language change to the local portion of sales and use tax. We still believe we're comfortable with an ability to negotiate what we need for fire, a city, and a county. But you start getting below that 20% that's being requested with that local language in there, it starts becoming potentially problematic.
Yeah, and to be clear, what that means is it's only a percentage of the local taxes, which is less than a whole abatement. So on a 20% limit, that's like 18% of the total abatement that they're getting, because we're not able to negotiate for any of what the state is giving up. Ironically, the local taxes account for about 90% of what is given up to get these companies to come here. And so that state portion is fairly small, but it's being excluded from our ability to negotiate offsets. So I don't, cutting it too close, I don't think that's the right move for local jurisdictions.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you, Vice Chairman. I think that we've made changes throughout this process. I feel comfortable with where the bill is at right now, so I don't propose any changes.
Okay.
Do you know of anybody talked with the governor's office recently about this directly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have ongoing discussions. So when we say the governor's office, there are kind of two entities that we're talking about here. Sure. One is the governor's office of economic development, and then there's the governor's office, meaning his policy staff, that are a little more general. And we've had conversations with both. It's the governor's office of economic development that has come and proposed this this amendment. The challenge is this. I didn't find out they had issues with our bill till the first week of session, when I ran into them by chance in the building. As soon as I found out, now my understanding is they were presented with the wording of the bill way back in November. And so they didn't approach us at all for two and a half months. As soon as I found out they had issues, I asked for a meeting. It was set and then canceled because of a conflict. Asked for another meeting, no response. I said, can you at least get us a list of what concerns you have? That list was not forthcoming. I feel like we've had to drag them to the table to engage with us on this bill. What it feels like is every time we meet, several concerns are expressed. We address those concerns, and then the next time we meet, several different concerns are expressed. But we're told, this is it. These are the only concerns we have. And at some point, I don't know how you work with a moving goalpost like that.
Sure.
And so it feels like more meaningful engagement is happening now, after we got the votes to get it out of the Senate, when we're down the road quite a ways. And so so they're the ones asking us to amend further, and the governor's Office of Economic Development. And the response that we have given so far is, we're eager to hear what the committee has to say, what input they can give to us, and then we'll respond accordingly after that hearing happens.
Great, thank you.
And I'd like to add on to that, if I may. Specifically asked for the governor's office as well, whether myself or Commissioner Mitchell or Commissioner Carmona or our team has met with the governor himself. With Chris Riley from the governor's office over infrastructure. He's a key component, as he was the chief negotiator with the Tesla Gigafactory, so he's very familiar with the processes and how these things work that are in SB 69. Tim Robb, who's not in the same position he was, but he's aware of this as well and has been met with. Ryan Cherry, the chief of staff of the governor's office, as well as with GOED, Tom Burns himself, the director, Stephen Wood, their chief lobbyist, as well as the regional development authorities like Northern Nevada Development Authority and the Economic Development Authority, Western Nevada. Both of them are representatives, in addition to a very lengthy list of other folks that are in this, whether it's WNDD or other folks that are related to government, economic development, RDAs, or whatever agencies you want to see in this room.
Okay.
Okay, at this point then, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to Mr. Tanchek. I believe he has some things he would like to discuss, if we are done at this point discussing Senate Bill 69. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Alex Tanchek with Silver State Government Relations. I did not have too much to talk about. Just a couple bills on my list that I wanted to discuss. One was previously mentioned, SB 116. I was not at the hearing today, but it did occur this morning, and I have heard it went very positive for Senator Daley and the proponents of the bill. The other bill I wanted to talk about was SB 78. This has definitely been one that's received a lot of attention. When the for reference, the bill relates to consolidation of a number of occupational licensing boards, advisory boards, commissions, things of that nature. Included in that was consolidation of historic and cultural affairs boards, which would have included the Comstock Historic District Commission. So the bill, when it was presented to the committee the last month, I believe, had an amendment from the Department of Business and Industry that would have removed the Comstock Historic District from the bill. The bill received a amend and do pass motion from the committee. It was not supported by the entire committee. All of the Democrats on the committee actually opposed the bill, with Senator Flores joining the Republicans as a means to progress the bill, let the conversation continue, and let the bill keep going forward. Once the bill got to the floor, Senator Flores withdrew the amendment, and the bill was referred to the Senate Committee on Finance. So as it stands now, the Comstock Historic District is still in the bill, and it is the same bill as it was when it was introduced back in November. We heard during rural caucus last Thursday from the Department of Business and Industry that a further amendment will be coming to the bill that will be submitted to the Senate Finance Committee in short order. We have inquired as to whether or not we could receive a copy of that amendment. We're still waiting to hear, but our suspicion is that the amendment will be similar to what was presented to the Government Affairs Committee, with additional changes to the bill, kind of paring it down even more than it existed in the amendment. I would add that I believe it was last week, the Department of Business and Industry had budget closings, which included their office for boards, commissions, and professional standards, which is where most of the provisions in SB 78 would be housed. The budget closed without approval of the additional positions requested by the department in order to implement SB 78. I would also add that SHPO and the Comstock Historic District Commission also received budget closings recently. So I think while we're still waiting written confirmation, we believe the Comstock Historic District will continue to exist and will not be consolidated in SB 78. The other bill that I wanted to talk about was SB 461. This is the Governor's Economic Development Bill. This was introduced last week. The bill makes numerous provisions relating to economic development. One of the big ones is the addition of partial abatements of property, sales and use tax, and other business taxes in an amount not to exceed 60% of the total taxes owed. There are various aspects that businesses applying for this could apply for with GOED and receive, such as if you were to pay 150% hourly wage, if you have agreements with ENSHI for research and development and that kind of thing, and housing, providing housing assistance for employees, various things like that. This would apply for high-impact businesses, which the bill defines as electric battery manufacturers, clean energy and clean water tech companies, advanced manufacturers, aerospace and defense, and biotech and pharmaceutical type industries. The bill also offers transferable tax credits to companies that offer to help develop childcare facilities. The bill also creates a community infrastructure grant program that would allow eligible entities to apply for water, sewer, gas, electric, and broadband infrastructure needs, as well as other housing and wastewater and transit infrastructure projects. And finally, the bill makes additional changes regarding workforce development and kind of trying to help enhance workforce development in the state. Those were really all the bills I had on my list to discuss. We are 27 days and 15 hours until sine die. The Economic Forum met last month, and they're projecting a budget shortfall of $191 million. So the next month should be fun.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, can I comment on those bills and maybe recommend some positions?
Sure.
So on SB 78, you know, even though it seems like it's going to end up not affecting the historic district, the problem is the winding route that it's taking to get there is creating instability to the point where historic district staff are fearing for their jobs and are potentially looking at or even asking to be transferred to other jobs because they feel like there's no continuity or longevity with what they've got because it's being tossed around like a football down at the legislature. So I feel like it's important for us. We've already taken a position of opposition, but maybe to activate as long as that's a possibility to get really active and vocal in our opposition to any effect on the advisory board, specifically on the historic district, because it's hard enough to find people to fill those positions. It's a fairly specialized field. But then for them to feel like the rug's being pulled out from under them, regardless of us assuring them that it, you know, we think it's going to be fine, that's tough. And that's going to have a big impact on us if we can't get that under control. So I feel like authorization for our team to get pretty vocal on that and really make our position known and rally whatever other resources we have, I think that's the right move at this point until we have certainty that it won't be affected.
Can I add to that, Commissioner? Austin Osborne for the record. In addition, I think it's important to note, if you want, in any correspondence, whether it's written or otherwise, that we have proposed alternatives, that the county would actually assume a lot of the responsibilities and working with Lyon County to do the same, and that we're looking at a regional approach for this. I'd be happy to draft a opposition letter with those resolutions potentially in them and in representation of this board in doing such. There's been lots of other agencies that have done the same, as you can see on NALIS.
I don't have a problem with that personally.
Yeah. I think that sounds good.
I'm good.
On SB 461, which is the governor's economic development bill, you know, we've been asked to support that. I think it's quite clear. It's a broad bill, lots of stuff in it, and I don't think there's any way that it goes through without some sort of amendment. Typically, the rules down at the legislature are if you don't support it as written, you have to oppose it. So if it's not like 100% we like it the way it is, then you have to be in opposition. But you know, the question is, can we find a way to support it, realizing that likely it will be amended and that we would have an opportunity to express concerns and work to include anything. One of the concerns that we have is just needing a clarification or a certainty that there's not retroactivity, that new abatement programs couldn't be stacked on top of existing companies that we already have out here to increase or decrease the amount of local taxes that we're getting. And I have a feeling some of the other provisions are going to be problematic because of the budget shortfall. And so there's just not money to fund some of those things. Anyway, I don't know what the board wants to do. If we want to take a position in favor, things are going to move quickly at this point. And I'm anticipating before our next meeting, there will be some sort of action on the bill. And you know, if we want to be involved in that, I don't know what the right posture is to get to the table, and or if we want to give kind of some open-ended guidance to our team that gives them flexibility to go one way or the other with that.
I don't have a problem with taking a position on it. I don't know if you guys want to draft something, but I mean, I'm okay to jump on board with you. You know, we can support it for now, and then if things come up, or those amendments come up, but I don't have enough direction to give you.
Sure. Are you okay with kind of temporarily, we say we're supporting, but cautious, and we'll kind of monitor how it goes, and then bring it back if there are things that cause us concern.
That works for me.
Could we add to motion that if there are just any adverse impacts that would occur to Story County, that we'd focus on those in any opposition? Okay.
That works.
Yep. Great. Thank you.
Anything else?
Not on those bills. I have a couple others.
Okay.
And those are just the last two that I asked to be added to this list. The first one is SB 180. What it basically would do is double the insurance requirements for trucks that operate just within Nevada. They're not doing interstate trucks because they can't regulate interstate commerce, but it's from $750,000 of liability to $1.5 million. That has the potential impact for farmers, for small operators. It far exceeds the other requirements that are in place even for interstate operation. And so I would advocate that we take a position against that bill. I think it's be fairly vocal about it. I think that's it's a bad policy singling out. It's going to be very regressive. It's going to really hurt small businesses, independent truckers, and farms that use trucks and those kind of things.
I would agree with you on that.
Okay.
I don't have a problem either.
Thank you. And then AB 241, it would require that by right, instead of a special use permit, in commercial zoning, you could do multifamily housing. Now, I don't know what the impact would be to us. It does have an exception for industrial. It says this doesn't apply to industrial. So I don't think that the Tri-Center would be affected by it. My issue with the bill is this is the legislature trying to tell us how to do local land use planning, which in my understanding is the local province. And I don't think it should be micromanaged by the legislature. I think for that reason, we should oppose.
I agree. Yep.
Great. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Any other ones?
No, we're good. Okay. And just continuing the positions on everything else that we've already taken.
I'm good with that. Austin, you have more?
I don't. I will let you know that we've been in communication with NACO. They are still supporting Senate Bill 69 and other folks around the state as well. So nothing has changed there.
Okay. Do you need more direction for the motion?
At this point, if you make a motion that's in there and just incorporate this discussion into that motion and what you've directed, I think since we've done that in the past, it would be sufficient pending legal.
All right. Nothing else, Vice Chairman?
Nope.
Commissioner Gilman, anything at this time?
None, thank you.
Is there any public comment on any of the bills that we've talked about? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. Hi, Commissioner Mitchell. Move to direct county staff and lobbyists to represent Story County on known BDRs, bills, and other potential legislation affecting Story County as discussed on the record today.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Alex, thanks for making the trip up, man. Good luck down there today. Right. Moving on to item number 38, this discussion for possible action. It's the second readings for business license A through N. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Vice Chairman, any questions or comments?
No, I'm good.
Is there any public comment regarding these business license second readings? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the second reading of business licenses under item 38 listed as A through N.
A second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 39. This is the second and final time for public comment during this meeting. Is there any public comment in the courtroom today? Not seeing any. On to item number 40, it's adjournment of all active and recess boards on the agenda. It is 12:35. This meeting is adjourned. Not to be rude, but we do have closed session, so please pack up your bags and have a nice day. Get up.